Our New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. So please stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Our Old Covenant reading is from Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread, a man will transgress. A man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. Whoever robs his father or his mother and says, "It is no transgression," the same is companion to a destroyer. All flesh is as the grass, and all man's glory is like the flower. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Okay, be honest. Well, don't say it out loud, though. You want to get rich? Do you want to get rich? Somebody said it out loud. You weren't supposed to. So you want to get rich, and you think money will make your life better. You think more money will make more life. And if you're rich, then you won't have to worry about a lot of things. You won't have to worry about where the next food comes from, where you get your clothes, whether or not you can afford that car, that bill, all this other stuff. You can just not worry about a lot of things because you have more money. More money will make me more happy, is often how we think. And if that's true, if you're thinking, you know, I want to get rich, I want more money, and I think more money will make me happier if I have more, then you need to listen closely to what Solomon says in these Proverbs in chapter 28, verses 19 to 24, because this is all about getting rich. And I'll say something about Solomon. He's the man who knows about it. He knows about being rich. Solomon would be considered in the top 0.001%. I don't know. He's right up there with the richest of the rich. He's the top 1%. He is filthy rich. He knows about getting rich. He knows what it means to have riches and somewhat about how to get rich. So if wealth is important to you, you want to listen to closely what he says and make sure you understand how to get rich and how not to get rich. Or maybe you might even question whether you should want to get rich at the end of this. So let's look at what he says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19. He says, "He who tills his land will have plenty of bread. But he who follows frivolity," one translation says empty pursuits, frivolity. I like frivolity better. That's a better word. Frivolity. "Will have poverty enough." Or as the ESV says, I think it's plenty of poverty. Did you notice the play on words he uses there? Because that's in the Hebrew. He's playing on the words. You know, if you work real hard in your field, you're tilling your land, you're going to have plenty of bread. But if you follow frivolity, if you're doing things that are frivolous and empty pursuits, you're going to have plenty of poverty. You got plenty of nothing. Okay? So that's he's playing on those words there. But notice the difference. It's a contrasting proverb. There's a contrasting parallelism there. Work hard, till your land, and you'll have plenty of bread. Follow frivolity, empty pursuits, things that are not productive, and you're going to have plenty of poverty. And so he's being ironic in that plenty of poverty thing. Now, tilling land, well, here's the problem. And when you till land, that's really hard work. You know, if most people have a choice, I've got to get behind, and this is before tractors, right? You're tilling this land, that means you're behind an ox or a mule or something, or I don't know, if you're really poor, maybe you were just with your, you know, hoe out there, hoeing up, and you're hoeing up some acres or you're tilling some acres. That's going to be a lot of hard work, a lot of effort, take a lot of time, even just to till up a small plot of land, maybe the size of this room. That's going to take a while as you fight your way behind that ox trying to till up that land. So that's hard work, and sinners don't like hard work. We would much rather pursue frivolity. And so if the Israelites might be tempted to go down to the Jordan River and hang out at the rope swing for most of the day. So they're, instead of going and plowing the back 40, they're going to go and hang out at the rope swing and swing out over there and drop in the water and have a grand old time. And that sort of, but at the end, they're going to have plenty of poverty rather than plenty of bread. Because in order to till, you know, to get bread, you're going to have to till that field. You're going to have to plant that grain. You're going to have to watch over it. Then you're going to have to harvest it. Then you're going to have to, you know, whatever the thing's called. I forgot the thing you throw up in there. Just went blank on the name of that stuff. But you've got to do a lot of work before you get to the loaf of bread. You get that bread. So it's going to be a lot of work to get to that. But that's how you get it. You're going to have to work for it. And the Bible teaches this everywhere, right? Diligence. You got to work hard for your daily bread. And God has designed the world that way because that's what sinners need. But sinners are tempted to go for the frivolous. They're tempted to waste their time doing a float trip down to the Dead Sea. You know, go down to the Dead Sea and do a float trip. And at the Dead Sea, you wouldn't even need a raft. You could just float right there in the water. So, but that's a temptation. Frivolity. Pursuits. Empty pursuits. And for sinners, it's always easier to take that easy way than to do the hard work. And so this is really a straightforward way to wealth. And he's being honest. This is how the proper way to earn wealth. Work really hard. And don't spend your life in empty pursuits. And there's an honest way to earn wealth. And one thing I want you to see in this is that Solomon thinks that wealth is good and poverty is bad. And he's actually warning us to not do things that lead to poverty and to do things that lead to wealth. Now, there's some dangers here, and we're going to talk about that as well. But it is a good thing to work hard, and God blesses hard work. So here's an application for you this week. And the young people can listen up to this. Okay, here's your application this week. Okay, start thinking about how you spend your day. At the end of the day, sit down and say, what did I do today that will eventually put bread on the table? What did I do today? What did I do that will contribute to someday in the future there will be bread on the table? Because remember, that guy tilling that field, he starts tilling in the spring, he plants, he doesn't get that bread till the fall or till, you know, after the fall harvest. It takes a while. So he's doing stuff here that's going to bring bread here. And so, children, what are you doing today? At the end of the day, you say, what have I done today that's going to contribute to bread here in maybe 10 years? You may have to look further, 20 years. I mean, you could spend your time on the video games. Maybe that would be considered frivolous. You sit there and play video games for hours and hours and hours. Is that frivolous? Would Solomon say that's frivolous? That's not going to result. What benefit is that going to bring to you in the end? Or is that just an empty pursuit that he warns us again? It's just going to give you plenty of poverty. So you have to think about those things. Or maybe you want to study. Maybe you're reading, doing your homework. Maybe studying your math. Maybe that's going to contribute. Let's try to look at the long term. Say I do study and I learn to read well. And read good books. Say I become wise. Maybe that will prepare me to do well in college. Maybe then I can get a job. Then maybe, you know, does it end in bread at the end? Is there bread at the end of that labor? Or is it frivolity? And so Solomon is warning us here in verse 19, go till the land. Most of you won't literally till land. But for you young people, it might be study your math. It might be do your reading. Read that great book. It might mean learn to write. Develop the skill of speaking. You may learn all kinds of things. And that's what it looks like to do things that will bring bread, to work hard to till the land for you. So till your land so you'll have bread. And beware of the frivolity. Now, there's a place for fun, no doubt. We need recreation. We need to go renew. And we need to go have fun. No doubt for that. But always realize that in the end, that's probably not going to bring bread. And it's a small part of life. It's not what God means us to capitalize on. We're meant to capitalize on that work that is fruitful, labor that is fruitful. So we should desire bread. I hope you do. And if we want plenty of bread, then we need to look at how we're spending our time. And it's good for adults, too. At the end of the day, maybe look at how we spend our time. How much time was on Facebook? How much time was on social media? What were we doing with our day? And how much time was spent in those things that will bear fruit, good fruit, at some time? And then begin our day after we look at ourselves, start to evaluate things. Then begin your day the next day after and say, today I will till my field. What's the field I need to till today? And go and spend my efforts in the tilling of that field so that you'll have bread, plenty of bread later. And that's just a simple time management thing he's giving us here. Don't spend your time in frivolous things. Spend your time in fruitful things. But I want to point out, and Solomon follows up the very next verse with something that's vitally important to be qualified in this. And Jesus said it this way, man shall not live by bread alone. You need more than bread. You work hard, you'll have plenty of bread, but you need more than bread. You need much more than bread. You need to do what Jesus says in the following words, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So bread is not all we live for. We don't live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Every word He speaks. And here we have this next word, verse 20, that we need to live by. And He says this, a faithful man will abound with blessings. But he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. So there's much more to life than wealth. There's much more to life than bread. As a matter of fact, you can have lots of wealth and be completely miserable. I don't read the tabloids, except when I'm in a line at the grocery store. You can't, you know, you gotta, it's hard not to look. What's going on? And if the tabloids are filled with people who are filthy rich and miserable, who have everything that we think we would want, fame, wealth, pleasures, and their lives are rotten because it comes with a curse. They have wealth, and sometimes wealth comes with a curse. Sometimes wealth comes with a blessing. And that's what we want. We want our wealth to come with the blessing of God. We do not want wealth apart from the... If we have our choice, can I have the blessing of God and can I have wealth? It's the blessing of God every time. I do not want my wealth with a curse. And so he says, the faithful man will abound with blessings. Faithfulness is more important than wealth. Faithfulness is more important than getting rich. And so we choose faithfulness. We obey the Lord. Now, what does faithfulness look like? I want to read one commentator's description of the faithful man. I think it's helpful. Listen to what he says. The faithful man is true to his work. He does what he's supposed to do. He makes good his promises. If he says he's going to do something, he does it. He doesn't try to cheat. He doesn't try to finagle out of it. He's good for his promises. The faithful man fulfills his contracts. He's made a contract, and if that contract's to his hurt, he keeps the contract anyway. Doesn't sound like a way to get rich, but it is a way to be faithful. And God blesses faithfulness. He abides by all the obligations he makes, whether they are great or small. If he says he's going to do something, he will be there, whether it was something small. I'll be there at this place. I will do this. Unless prevented by sovereign circumstances of God, sovereignly hindered by God, then he does it. Whether it's great or small, in everything he does, he is faithful. He's faithful in the little things. He's faithful in the big things. And the Bible says, such a man abounds with blessing. So our call is not to seek to get rich. Our call is to seek to be faithful. Be faithful. There's blessings in faithfulness. Not in getting rich necessarily. But in contrast, look at the last part of that verse. The one who hastens to get rich gets punished. Whoa. Are you in a hurry to get rich? Well, you're going to get punished. If you're in a hurry to get rich, you think, I want to get rich quick, then you're headed for trouble. He looking for the fastest way to get your money? Well, that's going to end in punishment. Solomon is warning here about the danger of the pursuit of riches. And he says, one commentator said, even if you're pursuing it rightfully and lawfully, that covetous heart, God sees it. He sees the covetous heart, and He will not bless it. So we can say all day long, I don't want to get rich. But if you really do in our hearts, we want to get rich. Even if we're using lawful means to get there, it's not the way of blessedness. It is the way of punishment. There are great threats regarding this. One of the most terrifying ones is in 1 Timothy 6. Turn to 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10. Solomon is warning us about a great danger, and the Apostle Paul saw the same one. And he warns us. 1 Timothy 6. In verses 9 and 10. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's a severe threat. You want to get rich? Your desire is to get rich? You are headed for a snare. Remember, a snare is a trap. You don't see it. You think it's not there. The animal doesn't see it, and then they're caught. It drags them up into the tree or whatever. The desire to get rich is a snare. And many have done it. Many have pursued it. And they've fallen into harmful and foolish lusts that destroy them. And he says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, from which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I can tell you today of people who made wealth their God and they no longer follow God. You could probably too. You could probably name names right now. This person made their God wealth. You could tell. That's all they wanted. They wanted money. They were living for money, and now they no longer worship the living God. They have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Paul's warning, don't do it. Don't be in a hurry to get rich. Don't make that your goal. Make sure you are faithful. The faithful are the ones who are blessed. Those who desire to get rich are just seeking a whooping. Now, most of us don't seek that openly, right? Most of the children here are saying, you know, my goal today, they wake up, my goal today is to get a spanking. I hope that I can accomplish that today. Now, some of you could make that goal and actually accomplish it, I'm sure. But most of us don't get up and say, you know, today I'm going to strive for as many spankings as I can get. See if I can get a new record today. Well, Solomon's telling us the person who desires to get rich and is hasty to get rich is looking for a whooping. He's waking up in the morning saying, I want to get some whoopings. And don't do that. He says, don't be hasty to get rich. You're just being running towards the whipping post. Running towards punishment. You will not go unpunished. So beware. Be faithful. But remember also, we're called to work. Remember that previous proverb was that you got to work hard. You want to earn your daily bread. That's a good thing. And it comes together in, I think, Colossians chapter 3. If you turn over a couple of letters to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, we see this come together. We're not to want to get rich, but we know we need our daily bread and we need to work for it. We need to work hard for it. And I think Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 brings it together for us in a way that's tight and neat, and it's a good verse to memorize. Okay? Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So whatever you're going to do, you do need to till that field with great diligence, but not ultimately for the bread. You do it because it brings God glory. You do it heartily for the Lord rather than for men. You do it heartily to serve Him. Because it's the Lord you serve. You're not serving men. You're serving the Lord in that work. So you work hard for the Lord. And your studies, young people, work hard for the Lord. Not necessarily because that job's going to make you rich when you get that job that you're working hard for. But you do it for the Lord. And He's the one who will reward you. He's the one who will give you an inheritance. And His inheritance is good. his inheritance is the best. And we're going to talk more about that in a minute. He has the best inheritance. So examine your heart. That's what Solomon calls it. Examine your heart. What are you really working for? Do you really want to get rich quick? God sees it. He knows it. And he's going to punish it. Stop. Turn from that and say, no, today I work for the Lord. From here on out, I work for the Lord. I work heartily for the Lord. And if he gives me wealth, if he gives me blessings, amen. So be it. But I'm going to let him give the reward. I'm going to serve him. And for the children here, here's just a practical example. Be faithful in little things. Remember, it's the faithful one who's blessed. Do you have chores? If you don't, go ask your mom for some. Right? If you don't have chores, go ask her for them. Or your dad, either one. And then do them faithfully. The faithful one is blessed. Just faithfully do your chores. Even the little things. And so be faithful in your chores. And do that evaluation thing too. Am I being faithful or am I being frivolous? Am I spending my time faithfully doing what's good or am I just wasting my days in frivolous things? And then for the parents here, I want you to bless your children when they're faithful. When you see them being faithful, bless them. Bless them in some way. That's what our Father does for us, doesn't he? He promises here, he blesses the faithful. The faithful man will abound with blessings. So if your children are being faithful, make sure they abound with blessings. Give them blessings. Now Solomon in the next few Proverbs is going to warn us all kinds of stuff. Warn us all kinds of false ways. Warn us against all kinds of false ways to get wealth. Because we are easily deceived in this place of wealth. We can easily be tricked. And we think, you know, I believe that's the way to wealth. Remember, wealth is a good thing. He says it's good. He warns if you do something, you're going to get poverty. And that means he thinks poverty is bad. He says if you do this, you will be, you know, he will abound in riches. And that's a good thing. Lady Wisdom has in her hands riches. She dispenses those things. It's good. But there's also great dangers. And we can be so stupid about the way we go about it. We can be incredibly foolish about the way we pursue it. And so he warns us in these next Proverbs about all the ways we could be deceived. One way we might think we could be deceived is by, or one way we can be, rich or get rich is by partiality. Look at verse 21. To show partiality is not good. Because for a piece of bread, a man will transgress. For a piece of bread, a man will transgress. So one thing, why does an unjust judge the way he does or show partiality to certain people? Well, he's hoping to get something from it, maybe. Maybe a bribe, some benefit, some contact. So he shows partiality. He does injustice, showing favoritism to certain people because he thinks, if I favor them, they might favor me. And he thinks that's the way to wealth. Well, Solomon says partiality is not good. It's bad. And then for a piece of bread, a man will transgress. Now, I wasn't sure exactly how those two parallelisms fit together, but I'm going to follow two commentators who both came to the same conclusion. Is that what happens is, if we start to abuse our authority and make partial judgments, eventually we will become degraded. Until eventually we are betraying trust. We are doing injustice for a piece of bread. Sin has a way of degrading us and we just decline. It really is a slippery slope. So you get on the slippery slope of sin and showing partiality. And the next thing you know, you just betrayed justice. You have just done an injustice and showed partiality for a piece of bread. We would have thought we would have never come to that. We would have never done that. We thought we could stand against all temptations. But here we are, sinning for a piece of bread. And here's what Bridges says in his commentary. He says, once our principles are overpowered, they seldom again regain ascendancy. What he means by that is, once we start living unprincipled lives, showing partiality, we're here, we make that decision, I'm going to show partiality, I'm going to do injustice, and we start down a slope. He says, once that slide is started, very few come back. Each successive trial proves its weakness. First, you said, I'll sell out for a million. You give me $1 million bribe, I'll sell out for that. But then by the end of your days, you're selling out for a piece of bread. If I could just have a meal. I'm willing to betray justice for a meal. Each successive trial proves its weakness till he who once thought himself able to resist the great bribe for the smallest trifle will break with God and his conscience. For a piece of bread, a man will transgress. And I think that's the best way to take it. Beware of that slippery slope of sin. Sin is like a slide going down. You start taking that slide down and it's going to be a hard stop. And eventually you're going to hit that bottom where you're just doing stuff you never thought you would do. I would betray justice for a piece of bread. So the psalmist is warning us about the slippery slope of injustice and partiality. And then in verse 22, another way we're deceived. We think that by being stingy, we will get rich. We think that by holding it all into ourselves and hoarding it and keeping it, we'll get rich. That's the way to gain wealth. And Solomon says, do not be deceived. That is wrong. You are deceived if you think that way. The miser has a pursuer. The miser is trying to hoard everything, keep it all to himself. He's stingy, and he does not know it, but there's something pursuing him. There is a creature behind him that is waiting, and he better watch out. That creature is going to catch up with him. So let's see what that creature is. Look at verse 22, Proverbs 28. A man with an evil eye. And the man with the evil eye is the opposite of the man with the generous eye. The evil eye is the stingy man. That's how the ESV translates it. The stingy man. That's an interpretation of that word evil eye. The man with the evil eye, or the stingy man, hastens after riches. He's being stingy and he's interested in getting rich. He's in a hurry to get there. And he does not consider that poverty will come upon him. Well, he thought by the stinginess and evil eye, he was going to get rich. Turns out it's really the road to poverty, according to Solomon. An evil eye is opposed to the good eye or the bountiful eye. We see this in Proverbs 22:9. I'll read it to you real quickly. Listen to what it says. He who has a generous eye will be blessed. The generous eye gives to the poor, for he gives his bread to the poor. The generous eye will be blessed, but the evil eye, stingy person, they are headed to poverty. They may think they're headed towards riches. They're hastening on to riches, hoarding it all in. I'm not going to give to you. I'm not going to show compassion to you. I'm not going to share. Greedily keeping it all to themselves. They think, I'm hastening towards riches. But the pursuer is poverty. That creature that pursues them is poverty. That's the picture he gives here in the passage. Poverty will come upon him. It's the picture of him running down this road to riches, hastening his way, and boom, he just gets hit from the side and taken out. Poverty just slams him. He goes rolling over into the bushes. Poverty's going to come on him. He's going to get him. God blesses generosity. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? When you are generous, he blesses you, and you seem to have more and more to give. But when we're stingy, we lose. So don't believe that lie that the stingy can get away with and gain wealth. That's not the way to wealth. You will be overcome by poverty. Here's what Waltke says in his commentary. He says, the Lord will see to it that the conscientious and the compassionate person will finally hold the wealth in his kingdom. God owns it all, and he distributes it as he pleases, and he is pleased to distribute it to the faithful and the generous, not to the stingy, and not those who love and pursue wealth. So for the application to this is, look at your heart. Do you really think that by hoarding it all, you're going to get rich? Or do you say, I want to be generous. I want to give. Because if you're hoarding it all, if you're stingy, you're going to get taken out by that poverty which is chasing you down. And he who has a generous eye will be blessed. A third way of deception, a way we're deceived, is we think by flattery we're going to gain favor with people and possibly get rich that way too. Look at verse 23. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. I love the Hebrew here. The one who causes his tongue to be smooth. Smooth-tongued. The smooth-tongued man is the flatterer. He flatters with his tongue. He's smooth in his tongue. Says things he thinks will win favor, give him a good position, possibly gain some financial advantage by that smooth tongue and that flattery. He says, you know, in the end, you're going to have more favor if you just rebuke the person you're trying to gain favor with. At least if they're doing something wrong. We usually don't think that way either. But look at the passage. He who rebukes the man will find more favor afterward. Maybe not at the moment. You rebuke them, you might not find favor at the moment. You might have experienced that. You rebuke somebody and you might, at the moment, they're like, not really happy about that. And you're like, I better leave for a while. But the Bible says if they're wise, eventually you will find favor with them. If they're wise, they'll eventually love you for it. But if you correct a scoffer, it is true, you might be hated. And the hatred might be permanent. Correct a fool, they might despise you forever. If you correct a wise man, he will love you. And then also it says that here that you will find favor. Now, it doesn't say who you will find favor with. He who rebukes the man will find more favor afterward. With who? Well, we know your favor will be with God. If it's a just rebuke and you cared about the person, you were concerned about them, you love them enough to correct them. There are people who go around and are just mean and like to criticize. And there are also those who love you. And they rebuke you because they love you. And they care. And that's the way we're supposed to rebuke one another. We go and we say, brother, sister, I hate to have to say this, but you got to deal with this. And that's something most of us need more often than we know. We need to be rebuked a lot. So I hope you will leave today and say, you know, I would like to be rebuked today. Anybody want to rebuke me? I'm available this afternoon for rebukes if I need one. Go ahead and get one. But flattery is destructive. Man, flattery is deadly. And it does not bring the blessing that you might think it will bring, especially if you think you're going to get wealthy through it. Favor of the rebuke is better. And then verse 24, the final way, and probably one of the most wicked ways that a person could gain wealth or try to gain wealth, is by robbing his own parents. Verse 24, whoever robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same is companion to a destroyer. There's a strange perversion that sometimes gets into the hearts of children that they think that they could take money from their parents. That they could steal something from their parents. Or at a later age, maybe they could somehow take the inheritance before it's time. Get that money and take it away before it's time. Stealing from your parents is wicked. And this person here in this proverb, this child here, is robbing his father and mother and pretending like it's no big deal. This is not a transgression. It's no transgression. Maybe they're thinking, I'm going to get the inheritance anyway. Might as well take it. It's mine. Maybe they have some other kind of pretext that, oh, families ought to share everything they have. What's yours is mine. We ought to share everything they have. They have some conniving way that they're trying to justify it. But the scripture says he is the same as a companion to a destroyer. One commentator says, you know, it is a wicked thing to rob a stranger. It is an evil thing to rob your neighbor. How much more to rob your own father and mother? You are the companion to a destroyer. So don't think robbery in any way, shape, or form will ever give you lasting wealth. That's a lie. So Solomon warns, don't go that way for wealth. But particularly, don't fall prey to this idea that somehow it's okay to steal from your parents or take advantage of them. This happens sometimes in families as parents get older. The children take advantage of them in their old days when they should be caring for them and providing for them and loving them and take care of them. They instead are trying to finagle their wealth out of them to get their riches from them. That's just a companion to the destroyer. That is an evil thing. So Solomon has told us the way to get rich. There's a right way to get rich. There's a right way to go about these things and to earn it. And so I want to summarize all these things for us and also warn us again of all the ways not to try to get rich. Don't be deceived into taking up these pathways that are not wise and don't lead to wealth and blessing. Before I get to that, though, before I get to the summary, I want to remind you of this. To be wealthy is a blessing. If God gives you wealth and He gives you His blessing with it, you are indeed blessed. But He does sometimes give wealth without the blessing. And you don't want anything to do with that. So let's sum up what Lady Wisdom says to us here, because she loves to bless her followers with wealth. First of all, remember in verse 19, he says, work hard. Don't waste your time on frivolous things. Go work hard at the things that will put bread on the table. Don't waste your time in frivolity. You'll just get plenty of poverty. And by the way, sometimes for the children here, if you want to, you may say, well, what is frivolity? What is frivolity anyway? The frivolous is the wasteful, it's the empty pursuits. But if you want to know what is frivolous and what is fruitful, ask your parents. That's something to do at lunch today. Today at lunch, say, Mom, tell me the things that I'm doing that are frivolous, and tell me the things that I'm doing that are fruitful, that end in bread and don't end in bread. Talk about those things around the table. And then the second thing we see in verse 20 is that the faithful man will abound in blessings. We're to work heartily for the Lord. Be faithful in our callings, doing our work as to the Lord, not for men. And then we're not to be deceived into get-rich-quick schemes. They're all over the place. That hastening to be rich, did you notice he lands in trouble every time? Anytime someone tries to get rich quick, they're in trouble, headed for trouble. There are all kinds of schemes out there telling you can get rich doing this. Don't fall into any of that. Usually they have a video that has no timer at the bottom, right? If you're on the internet sometimes. You ever run those videos on the internet? Someone's trying to get you to get in with some kind of scheme they have to make lots of money. They'll tell you, you can make millions in 1 year working 2 hours a week, right? And those kinds of things. And then they connect you to some video and you keep trying to find, is there a pause button on this thing? And there's no pause button. And it doesn't tell you how long it's going to be. It's just going on and on. Maybe you've not been sucked into those. I have. Okay. But they're get-rich-quick schemes, a lot of them, and they don't work. They end in poverty. And then verse 22, he says, don't be stingy. Do you have an evil eye? Repent of it and say, no. God's blessed me with this. I give generously. Open hands. If there's somebody in need, I'm going to give to them. That's the way to heavenly blessings. And again, the warning, if your goal is to get rich, you are in great danger. If your goal in life is to get rich, then your God is not the triune God. Your God is money. I want to read this last passage, and I want you to turn there with me, and we're going to close with this. In Matthew chapter 6. It's a passage we read at the beginning, but it's so important to understand what's going on here. Jesus gives us many of the same warnings that Solomon gives us in this passage, and then he also gives us the right direction, which is to build treasure in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, where the coronavirus breaks in and steals all your portfolio. Because it's doing it. You've seen the stock market, it's not looking good. Thousands of points in reduction because of the coronavirus. Well, your heavenly treasure cannot be touched by the coronavirus. So you want to be building treasure there. You want to have a heavenly bank account that is full. Don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. It has the best interest rates. Best interest rate, and none of it can be taken. You'll never experience a loss. Anything you do for the kingdom of heaven will not be lost. It will all be kept. It's all preserved. Every bit of it. Then also, here's the danger. Verse 21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's where our heart should be. Our heart should be with the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom. We're seeking first His kingdom. If it's here, if it's in these treasures, then that's what we get in this alone. And then he talks about the eye. Remember the evil eye in that passage? The evil eye, and there's the bad eye and the good eye. Here he talks about that. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, that benevolent, that generous eye, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, you have an evil eye, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So generosity. The Lord calls us to be generous. And then finally, He gives us this ultimatum, really. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So you're faced with a dilemma. decision. What are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve money? Are you going to serve God? You can't serve both of them. And treasure above, and I exhort you to treasure above all else the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom. That He would be your greatest treasure. That the Lord Jesus is the one you treasure. All these things can be gone soon. You could be gone very soon. But He lasts forever. And then spend your time building up your bank account in heaven by good works. Spend your time serving the Lord and building treasure in heaven. For that treasure will last. And all the rest of this is gone. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray You'd help us to apply these words. We are in need of Your Holy Spirit to do so. Because in the flesh, we are prone to make every mistake that Solomon has brought before us in these Proverbs. So we pray for Your Spirit to come and arrest our hearts, to renew our hearts and minds, and make us to love You and love Your kingdom, and seek first Your kingdom above all else. For therein is true treasure. And that's where we want to place all of our treasure. So we pray You'd enable us to do this. And as we serve You faithfully down here, we do pray that You would bless the work of our hands and make them profitable so that we might be generous with it and even use that worldly wealth to build treasure in heaven. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And now may the Lord make you to abound and increase in love to one another and to all, so that He might establish your hearts blameless in holiness before Him at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Amen.